It's Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Wolforth. There is a movement in the works to bring the Winter Olympics to Anchorage. You know, the Olympics are starting in Sochi, Russia next week, and a bunch of Anchorage residents will be going as athletes representing the United States. Well, there was a past attempt to have the Olympics here in Anchorage, 92, 94, and 98. Those bids were unsuccessful, narrowly. We're going to talk about that. And then we're also going to talk about Mayor Dan Sullivan's wish and effort to have the Olympics come to Anchorage in 2026. Do you think it's a good idea? Would you like to see the Olympics here in Anchorage? Or are you one of those who think it's too risky or too much imposition on the people here to do the Olympics? We'd love to hear your opinion. We're going to have an open discussion on this, and we have the two best people to talk about it, the two people who were running the current Olympics bid and the person who was running the Olympics bid back in the 90s. Mayor Dan Sullivan is going to be with us. His office called a moment ago to say that he's on his way, and he'll be here in about 15 minutes. But I have another mayor. I have a backup mayor in the studio, if you will. Mayor Rick Maestrom, who led Anchorage from 1994 to 2000. And before that was the chairman of our committee that bid for the Olympics and came very close to success for the 92, 94, and 98 Winter Olympics. And so we're going to be talking about some of that history. And then when Mayor Sullivan gets here, we'll be talking more about the current bid that is being put forward for 2026. And Mayor Maestrom also has a new book out. It's called My Wonderful Life with Diabetes, an inspiring and empowering story of living healthy, living active, and living well with diabetes. And the book also covers some of that time when you were working on the Olympics. Is that right?
It does, Charles. Yeah, there's about 75 pages on the Olympic bid in there.
Must have been a big part of your life, a big accomplishment to get as far as we did.
You know, it was. It was. I was 100% volunteer, of course, and it was 5 years, 5 years of my life that I dedicated to that, and at the same time was running a company, but our clients were very tolerant because they all supported it too, so was able to do it.
Yeah.
And it was a great experience.
So we're going to talk about how that came down and how would Anchorage have been different if we had succeeded? I like thinking about that as well. And we'd love to hear your thoughts about it. The number here is 550-8433, outside Anchorage, 888-353-5752. Email hometown@alaskapublic.org. We read those on the air. And we're going to talk about should Anchorage have the Olympics. What made you first think, Rick Maestrom, back in the 80s, that this is something we should do? What inspired you, and what were the qualities that Anchorage had that made it seem like a good Olympic city?
Well, I was just finishing my second term on the Anchorage Assembly, and we shared a little bit of that common time, Charles. But I was on the Anchorage Assembly, and it was 1984, February. I was watching the games from Sarajevo. So the Sarajevo games were on. People were talking about it. It was a big deal. And I've been interested in the Olympics since I was 10 years old. So I was watching what coverage there was of the Sarajevo games. And the more I watched it, the more I kept saying, how does the city get that? You know, how could we do that? Could Anchorage do that? And Sarajevo was a little bit bigger than Anchorage, about 400,000. Anchorage was 240,000-250,000 at that point in time. But that idea kept percolating my mind. And I was scheduled a couple months later, I was scheduled to give a speech to the Downtown Rotary Club. And it was supposed to be on the state of the city. And instead, because I was just finished my term as chairman of the Anchorage Assembly, and instead, I chose to give a speech on why Anchorage should host the Winter Olympics instead of state of the city. And I talked about three things there. I talked about, should we do it? And that talks about the benefits, as I saw it. How do we do it? It talks about the process. Or should we do it? Can we do it? And how do we do it? Should we do it? Can we do it? Are we big enough? Are we the right city? And how do we do it? Which I didn't know much about the process, but I talked about it anyway. And I gave that speech to the Downtown Rotary. And the next day, there were two front page articles in the paper, you know, Maestrom wants to host the Olympics, Olympic bid proposal, et cetera. And at my company, Maestrom Advertising, we spent the next week just taking phone call volunteers from people. And we had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people volunteer to be part of it. They wanted to do it. And about 3 days later, both papers, the Times and the News at that time, had positive editorials about it, saying, let's look at it. Let's give it a try. Let's find out.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, it just really, really sort of exploded.
And you needed all that volunteer help, and you needed a lot of money, because bidding for the Olympics, it's not as big as putting on the Olympics, but it's a heck of a big process to bid for the Olympics, isn't it?
It is. It is a big process. It's getting bigger, getting more expensive now. But then it turned out to be, for us, it turned out to be about $6 million over 3 years, all privately donated by companies, just to bid for the games and get prepared for
more,
it and do
more
all
than
of
that now, you say?
I think it is. In fact, I know it is, because there are certain requirements to build things ahead of time.
Wow.
But what happened is the committee kind of moved along. I formed a steering committee to look at the idea. And then from the steering committee, we nominated a board of directors and had an election of officers. And I was elected chairman of the actual organizing committee. And we kind of moved along slowly. We didn't, mm-hmm. it wasn't, we moved along slowly for about 4 or 5 months until in March of 1985, we got a call from the United States Olympic Committee, because I had gone down with three other people and we met with the USOC and said, Anchorage is interested.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a call in March of 1985 from the United States Olympic Committee saying, would Anchorage like to, the US is going to have a candidate, would Anchorage like to take part in that bid and bid for the right to be America's candidate?
Mm-hmm.
And at that time they said, Salt Lake City's in, Reno Tahoe's in, and Lake Placid's in. Would Anchorage like to be in? And we met as a board. I knew what the answer was going to be. We met as a board and we decided, yes, we want to be in. And so we got back to them in about 2 days. And then we had 3 months to make a presentation, to do technical studies, to do, you know, a lot sort of preliminary technical studies. And all of a sudden, everything just took off. We had that deadline. And we raised, I think, $270,000 initially just to compete for America's candidacy.
And we won. We were America's choice, as they say, in 92 and 94. And then in 98, we really, it was essentially robbed from us, because that, if people may have forgotten by now, that was the year in which the vote for the choice of America's bid for the Olympics was corrupt, and it led to some pretty serious repercussions.
It did. And let me get to that really quickly. I'll move fast to that. But we did compete. Everything just sort of blossomed. We did our presentation in Indianapolis, and we ended up getting more votes in the first round than all the three cities put together. So we got more votes in Salt Lake City, Reno Tahoe, and Lake Placid put together. So we became America's candidate. Then we had 1 year to get our story to the world, and we made our presentation to in October of 1986 in Lausanne, Switzerland, and we finished seventh out of eight cities. So it was pretty bad. We weren't sure if the people of Anchorage would still be excited.
Right.
But there was good reason for it. We were the last city in. Calgary had the games in 1988 before the 92 games, and they were perceived to be really close to us. And so we got beat pretty badly. And then we came back. The USOC unanimously supported us again to be their candidate. We went to, in 1988, we went to the Olympics in Seoul, Korea. We made our pitch, we talked to everybody, we did all our lobbying, and we ended up finishing second to a little town in Norway called Lillehammer.
So we were second worldwide,
Second worldwide. Second in the first round of voting. Mm-hmm. And then things change after that, the politics take place. But in the one round that you can control, we ended up finished second by two votes.
Mm-hmm.
Then we came back and tried to get the third bid from the USOC, and that was the one that ended up as a corrupt bid that changed the USOC and changed the IOC forever.
There was actual bribery that was done on behalf of our competition. That's why we lost, essentially.
Salt Lake City, and I remember telling the news, I think it was Brokaw, that we lost fair and square. It was close, but we lost fair and square. And it wasn't until about 8 years, no, maybe not, maybe 4 or 5 years later, that all of a sudden the FBI and the Justice Department started an investigation in it based on allegations. And there was indictments and resignations from the whole Salt Lake City committee, and they were accused of bribing both the USOC and 8 or 9 International Olympic Committee members got suspended. But
and then
anyway,
you moved on in your life, and you moved on to other other challenges. And
I got the consolation prize, mayor of Anchorage.
That's right.
Second place.
And Mitt Romney became the ran that Salt Lake, took over and ran those games successfully.
And he did a good job.
So a lot of history. And now Mayor Dan Sullivan has joined us. He had to race across town from another event. Thanks for being with us, Mayor.
Hey, my pleasure, Charles. And Rick, good to see you. I was just at the Anchorage Economic Development Corporation lunch, which is the biggest sit-down lunch in Anchorage, 1,500 plus people, and wow. I was at the head table, so I couldn't escape early. I apologize for being late.
And we're interested in hearing from listeners as well. We've got two mayors in the studio, so we should get your questions. The number here is 550-8433. Outside Anchorage, it's 888-353-5752. Email is hometown@alaskapublic.org. Mayor Sullivan, I started out in talking to Mayor Maystrom about what originally inspired him to think we should bid for the Olympics. Now you've sort of raised this again. What's your reasoning or what's your inspiration for wanting to do it?
Well, it's amazing how time flies. And when you look at when the Anchorage Organizing Committee really got rolling, it was the mid to late 80s. Well, here we are almost 30 years later. Isn't that amazing, Rick, that 30 years has gone by? And so when you look at where Anchorage is and our position in the world now 30 years later, we're a bigger, stronger, more capable, dynamic city that's increasingly getting international recognition. And I just got to thinking that, if we were the U.S. choice almost 30 years ago, with our increased capabilities and facilities, wouldn't we be a logical choice to be considered, at least, for the future? And with the future, we're talking 2026, so, a dozen years away. But as we can see by the passage of time, it goes quick. And if you're not prepared, you won't be in the game. So put together a group of folks and started noodling whether or not we wanted to even walk down the road of an exploratory committee, which is just a really cursory committee that does an overview based on reviewing all the great work that Rick and his team did, those several decades ago, and seeing where changes might be necessary and what things are still relevant. And so it's been an interesting process so far, a really good group of folks, a lot of young people, former Olympians, literally passing the torch to that new generation to let them take some leadership on a possible new bid.
So Mayor Maystrom was telling us about the sort of the cost and effort behind that Olympic bidding back in the 80s and millions of dollars spent. Is this something that you see the private sector coming into funding and taking the ball, or do you see it as a municipal project, or how do you see that coming together?
It'll probably be a partnership of some kind. I mean, this is going to be an event that is of such international significance that we would anticipate that many communities in the state of Alaska would participate in helping make it happen. But that being said, past games have been very, very successful, certainly in getting private sector support, and particularly in marketing to the world through the media. And I think Rick may have mentioned, or if he didn't, Alaska is the ideal media market based on our location. And nowadays, of course, one of the main funding sources for the games are our television revenues. So I think that position still holds us in very good shape.
Mm-hmm. And now Kevin is calling from Anchorage. Kevin, did you have a question?
Yeah, I was wondering, when submitting a proposal, does there need to be sites chosen already? I have a hard time envisioning, I think of Girdwood, when I think of, sites for games such as these. Would they be part some in Girdwood, some in Anchorage? Is there a site that would be developed in Anchorage? And so I'm trying to wrap my mind around what it might envision as far as the development goes.
Right. Well, let's turn to Mayor Sullivan first. Have you gotten that far to think about that?
We have, and one of the committees that we formed out of the exploratory committee is a venues committee looking at what are our capabilities. And certainly Alyeska is a world-class mountain. It can hold numerous alpine events. Kincaid Park is a world-class cross-country venue for Nordic events, and the biathlon range out there is as fully international capable. And we back that up by the fact that we're able to hold many national and international events, masters events, junior nationals, all adding to our resume. But as Rick's group analyzed, and as we would still have to analyze, there's some things we just don't have. Luge runs, bobsled runs, ski jump of the quality that we would need. So there would definitely be some facilities that would have to be built, no doubt about it.
Yeah, and let me turn to Mayor Maystrom. I recall that there was a discussion of building an Olympic stadium And was it going to be on that Calais property where we now have the Walmart and the Johnson Tires, or am I thinking wrong?
No, it was going to be at the APU property.
Oh, okay.
Right close to where we are right now, right, as yeah, a matter okay. of fact. The venue plan that we did 30 years ago has probably have a lot of merit from Mayor Sullivan's mm-hmm. ideas here for using it, and that was... where there was ice skating ovals, there was speed skating. The ski jumps were going to be on the north side of the mountains on Eagle River as you go up Highland Road, is it?
I think it's Highland Road. Correct.
On the right-hand side. And so those venues would still be very, very valid, I think.
Yeah. Right. The only one that's really changed is that ski jumping one. Highland Road has been extended even further, and they say the jump would actually have to go over the road now. So
that might have
come off the list. But a lot of the work that these guys did is very valid, and a lot of the locations still exist, and we're building off that work. Really, they did a tremendous job.
And it would be good to put an editorial comment in here, if mm-hmm. I can, and that is the International Olympic Committee, as well as all the national governing bodies of all the sports, like to go to a city that doesn't have everything built because they want to see new facilities being built. They go to a city that has all the venues, which they rarely do, then they don't get any new facilities built. So it's not a disadvantage for Anchorage in this whole picture.
Does that cover your question, Kevin?
Yes, it did. Thank you.
All right, thanks. Let's go to Diane calling from Anchorage. Diane?
Yes, I don't believe I've heard anything of about how these facilities, if they were built, would be maintained. There's only been one Winter Olympics that's come out in the black, and we already have enough problem maintaining what we have now, let alone all these facilities. And secondly, the Sochi Games has a stadium that houses 40,000 people. I don't know where you would envision that being here, but I certainly don't see it in Anchorage. And also for cross country.
Let's let those questions first, then we'll come back to you for the other one, okay, Diane?
Well, I know I only have one more thing. Kincaid is not the place that the cross country will be held. It would have to be held up in like Hatcher Pass. It would not be at Kincaid.
Well, you're now on my venues committee, Diane, so thank you for that contribution. So we take all input, but Mayor Meistrom, you guys analyzed Kincaid certainly extensively.
Yeah, Kincaid is considered to be the best cross-country venue in America, and the cross-country governing bodies love Kincaid. There is no better one in America, so that's where our... That makes sense. That's where the
as long as it's not like January like this one. I mean, we'd be dying, right?
Everybody worries about the weather, Innsbruck had snow hauled in, Calgary had snow hauled in, but it would be rare if we had to have snow hauled in, but we could do it.
Yeah, and what you do is you store snow. I mean, you literally plan ahead for weather like this, and you start your snow storage literally from the first snowfall, and you stockpile. But what we like to have in Anchorage is fresh snow, so we don't mind thaws like this because just before the event for about 2 weeks, it's going to snow beautiful large flakes, and life will be good.
Two things she asked that I could respond to. One is she asked about the maintenance of facilities, and I can give a quick answer to that. And second is she used Sochi as an example. But in terms of the maintenance of the facilities, our bid, we had a surplus, and our bid was, our budget was $270 million, and we had a $50 million surplus for operation and maintenance of the facilities. And most can be used again, but not all.
You mean you're talking about your business plan, like you when you got your TV revenues and everything came in, you'd expect a $50 million surplus.
A surplus, we did. And the TV revenue, as Mayor Sullivan mentioned, is just huge for, because if you do a final in Anchorage at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, it's 8 o'clock in New York, 7 o'clock in Chicago, 6 o'clock in Denver, 5 o'clock in LA. It's prime time across America. And the networks and all the cable networks will love Anchorage as a site. Best time zone in the world for the Winter Olympics.
Mayor Sullivan, what about this issue like building a 40,000-seat stadium? Yeah. It seems like it would be pretty hard to fill after the games.
Yeah, bottom line is we wouldn't build it. Every Winter Games has its own scale. Sochi is doing something that is not representative of the Olympic Winter Games over the last several decades. It's an anomaly. I think actually, our competitor that beat us out in 94, Lillehammer, might be the best example of a smaller city hosting the games and doing it very economically. They did things where they knew when they built buildings, they would build them modular so they could actually be taken down again. like in the things even as simple as in the cafeteria, they had fiber trays so they could all be biodegradable. You didn't have a bunch of plastic trays in your cafeteria. There's ways to do these things and not be left with a negative legacy. And I would question her numbers. As I look over the what happened in Turin or Vancouver, you know, the last most recent Winter Games in Salt Lake City before that, they all did really well. In fact, the tourism increase in Turin alone, they're getting 100,000 more visitors a year because they were an Olympic city and used to be known as an industrial city before that. So I think I would think that we could come out in a positive, both in terms of facilities and in terms of the monetary cost and the legacy of that.
All right. Diane, did we get to all your questions?
You got to them, but I don't believe your answers because I've had former Olympians tell me that the Kincaid would not be sufficient for cross-country. Perhaps biathlon, but not regular cross-country.
Well, I guess that just have a difference of opinion on that one. I know we have had national championships there a number of times. It is Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Wolforth. My guests today are Mayor Dan Sullivan, the current mayor of Anchorage, Rick Maestrom, past mayor of Anchorage, and Olympics bid chairman. And we are talking about Mayor Sullivan's proposal, his exploratory committee to bring the Olympics to Anchorage in 2026. And we have some past, we have some history in Anchorage. We did bid for the Olympics back in the 80s to bring the Olympics here in the 90s. Although we didn't win for reasons we've discussed, there's a lot of history there to look at and think about what a new bid would be like. So we'd love to hear your questions and comments. The phone number here is 550-8433, 550-8433. If you're outside Anchorage, it's 888-353-5752. Email is hometown@alaskapublic.org. And we would like to hear if you think we should have the Olympics and what questions do you have about it. Here's an email. Who would be responsible for paying for building the infrastructure that Anchorage doesn't have? And I guess there's building sports facilities, and then sometimes cities also have to build transportation facilities, Olympic Village, and all that sort of thing. Who I guess the question probably is who fronts the money that then you hope to get paid back by the.
Sure.
The TV revenue and so forth.
Yeah, and again, I think that's the partnership that you look between the private sector and some government involvement. It's an investment. You make that investment feeling fairly confident that because of the revenues you're going to generate, that investment will be paid back. And just in terms of some of the facilities and some of the logistics, since we made the bid back in the mid to late 80s, we had, I think at the time, about 5,000, about 3,500 hotel rooms in Anchorage. We now have 9,000. We now have 1,000 dormitory rooms out at the university, and it's expected that that's going to double by the time the Games came, because there's a plan to add more dormitory rooms. We'll probably have about 2,000 more hotel rooms by that time as well. In transportation, the Anchorage International Airport, the Ted Stevens Airport, can easily handle the deplanements. The number of deplanements is about, in 2025, they predict almost 3 million enplanements. And it can easily handle the two-week crush that might happen during the Olympics. So some of your basic things like housing, like transportation, getting here. And then just in terms of getting around, we've got by 2026, they predict there'll be about almost 300 motor coaches operating in Alaska. That's about almost 14,000 available seats. The railroad certainly can take people up to Girdwood and back. So we've got capabilities that vastly exceed where we were that 25, 30 years ago, which helps a lot because, those are some of the basic things that are essential to hosting a good Games is transportation and accommodations, and we're much better set than we were before.
Mayor Maestrom, I know this is one of the big controversies during the earlier Olympic bid is, well, if Anchorage signs on the dotted line, what if we get stuck with the money? And what's the sort of assurance that we get payback? Or is it sort of like, hey, we're a community, we're bold, you got to put in an investment to get something, and so there's some risk you have to accept.
Yeah, I can't speak for what's going to happen with the committee or how it's going to be done. That'll be the mayor and the continuing committee for doing this. But there is, I just want to mention one thing too, and that is people say we're not a big enough city. Back when we bid in the mid-80s, we would have been the fourth largest city to ever host the Winter Olympics. Only three cities were larger.
It's usually small cities.
Yeah. So the Winter Olympics is about 10% the size of the Summer Olympics, so it's much smaller. But how that's handled is going to be totally up to the committee and how it proceeds, and it's far too early to think about that. But there's as the mayor said, there's public-private partnerships. A big part of it can be done privately. The networks love Anchorage, and the contracts right now are well over the billions of dollars for television rights for this.
Right.
And
yeah.
Just to give you an idea how big the television rights are, for Calgary in 1988, it had a $19 million TV contract for the Canadian market, $5 million for the Japanese market, $5 million for the European market, and $309 million for the American TV market.
Wow.
Now, those are probably, you can multiply those by 10 maybe, or
American
6
TV
or 7.
Where it's
but
at,
American
yeah.
TV is where what subsidizes the yeah. Olympics.
All right. Here's a call from Zook calling from Palmer. Zook?
Hello. I just wanted to talk about the Olympics. I lived in Salt Lake City during the whole Olympic process. And scandal aside, it was probably the best thing that ever happened to Salt Lake City. It was amazing, all the new infrastructure we got, all the jobs that were created, all the tourism that came. And Salt Lake is still flourishing long after. And there was a lot of naysayers that said that wouldn't happen, that we'd go broke. And it turned out to be the best thing that ever happened to that city.
Yeah, and
oh, that's good.
Yeah, yeah, and on that point, that's one of the reasons Salt Lake City wants the games again. They saw the great benefit, and you know they're an active bidder in the future as well, because not only do they have the facilities, but all the benefits that he mentioned are real. And I'd like to think Anchorage could replicate that.
Well, once you've built these facilities, then other international competitions come to your town because you've got the facilities, right? And I guess there's only six regulation speed skating loops, we learned on a previous show, in the United States. We now have one of them here. If we had a bobsled run, if we had the other things, maybe we'd be more like Lake Placid or Salt Lake, where national competitions take place. So was that one of your part of your thinking, Rick?
Yeah, in terms of getting the facilities?
You're creating, yeah. Getting facilities, and then you become a destination.
We have, a number of the different governing bodies in every sport, every Winter Olympic sport has a governing body. They love the idea of Anchorage as a center because it links North America to Asia. You know, in Northern Asia, there'd be in Korea and Sochi and Japan, there's ski jumps, there's bobsleds, and this is perfect, you know, between those, sort of equidistant to North America, the big cities of North America and Europe in those. Mm-hmm. So yeah. It would be. We'd develop a lot of attraction to other people.
Yeah. Right. There's a reason that UPS and FedEx have major hubs here. You know, yeah. You stretch the map of the world vertical, and Alaska is dead center. So all the major capitals in Asia, all the major northern European capitals were as easy to get to as anywhere in the world for them. So logistics-wise, we make perfect sense for that.
And now let's go to Stu, who's calling from Muldoon. Stu?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Mayor Dan, Mayor Rick.
Hi, Stu.
I was wondering, I heard, was the bobsled run planned for along Arctic Valley Road? And also, I found the Olympic ring human flag poster at the Value Village about 5 years ago. It's my most cherished Alaskana poster. And I'm wondering if you guys are going to plan to do another one of those, because that's a really cool photo, if you guys remember that. It was taken September 21st, 1986, and it's an aerial view of, I'd say, at least 3,000 people on the Anchorage Park Strip making the rings.
Oh, yeah.
92,
yeah.
And if you take a close look at it, you can see somebody up in a tower with the ladder truck.
That was me.
Pretty curious.
We've got, I actually saw a picture.
The guy in the tower is wearing a white hat, by the way, a white baseball hat, and that's me.
I saw that photo online, and I wanted to put it on our site, but I think it was copyrighted. But we've got to find a version of that to get on.
Yeah.
So that was one of those things where you're building community excitement for it, right, Rick?
I'm sorry, in other words, the community.
The reason for doing that was just to show the community excitement
behind
the games.
Yeah, and that was, I kept thinking about what was my conclusion of the presentation going to be in Lausanne, Switzerland, and I came up with the whole idea of a human Olympic rings, and I called Roy Robinson from KFQD at that time. He got I said, how are we going to communicate to him? Because it was before the days of cell phones, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm up there saying 1, 2, 3 red, 1, 2, 3 red, green, 1, 2, 3 blue. And he said, we'll get every radio station in Anchorage to tune to the same frequency. So you'll have a speaker, and no matter where people are in Anchorage, whatever radio station they're listening to, they're going to hear you say 1, 2, 3 red, 1, 2, 3 yellow.
Because they were holding up cards.
They were holding up cards to do the, yeah, they all
to
had
do the rings. Wow.
And Don Dwiggins, who since died, was the head of the card section at University of California, Berkeley. And so he organized that, and my wife got all the people there. And it was just a great success. And people were so excited about that. And they still walk up to me in the street and say, oh, I was in the yellow circle. Or, I was in the blue circle.
Like Stu, who's calling. So, Mayor Dan, do you see I mean, that kind of excitement doesn't feel like it's gotten started. You've just sort of got to start an exploratory thing. Is that something you're going to have to build up if this is going to work?
Absolutely. Again, we're doing a very cursory overview of, you know, what it would take and primarily reviewing the previous materials to give us a sense of what needed to be changed from what they proposed, because their proposal was an outstanding proposal. So our job is to review and report. That's what the committee's job is. So it's way early to start talking about building momentum, because we haven't even made the decision whether we would pursue a bid or not. I will tell you that I also remember that that great crowd event, and that's something that we'd absolutely replicate. And now with the flash mobs and the ability to tweet out, you know, show up at this place and time, you could probably get 30,000 people to show up.
It would be easier. Let's take Stu's other question quickly before we go to break. Bobsled run. Arctic Valley Road. It seems like Arctic Valley Road already is a bobsled run. But, do you recall where the bobsled run was going to be, Mayor Meister?
I don't. I can't recall. I'm sorry.
We've got plenty of mountains, so I'm sure we can find a spot. Well, thanks for calling, Stu.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, it's Hometown Alaska. We're talking about the Olympics. Olympic bids passed for Anchorage, and should Anchorage bid for the Olympics again? Mayor Rick Meisterman and Mayor Dan Sullivan are both in the studio. We're going to take a very quick break, and when we come back, I'll be giving the phone number and email address so that you can get on the air with your questions, comments, concerns. Do you think Anchorage should be an Olympic city? Stay with us. We'll be right back after this short break.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. The program repeats tonight at 9 p.m. on KSKA Anchorage and will not be taking phone calls. You can find Hometown Alaska on iTunes or listen at alaskapublic.org.
It's Hometown Alaska. We're talking about the Olympics, not the Olympics coming up in Sochi next week, but maybe Olympics coming up in Anchorage in 2026. The topic is, should Anchorage bid for the Winter Olympics? Should we go out and do as was done back in the 80s when we tried to get the Olympics during the 90s? Very narrowly failed, but this time we might have a really good shot at it. And Mayor Dan Sullivan, who's in the studio with us, has made that pitch. Mayor Rick Meisterm is also with us. About as much Olympic experience as anybody in town, I suppose, except maybe Keegan Randall and some of those folks. He was in charge of that bid that happened back in the 80s. And we'd love to hear your thoughts. The number here in the studio is 550-8433, 550-8433. And outside Anchorage, it's 888-353-5752. And you can email us at hometown@alaskapublic.org. Mayor Sullivan, one thing that strikes me is this is a big community decision. And how do people get involved in making their feelings known one way or the other? How do they get involved in helping? Or if they don't think it's a good idea, expressing themselves? I remember back in the 80s, we actually had some kind of a referendum, a community vote on the thing. Would you anticipate doing that, or how does this process work to get from here to where we decide if we're going to do it?
Yeah, that's an important question, because it really won't go forward if the community doesn't support it. So you have to find a way to measure that support. And the best thing you can do in garnering support in the initial stages is information. You have to give people good, solid information about what it's going to take, what it's going to cost, where the money's going to come from, what it will mean to the city as a legacy. And with that information, you then trust the public to make a good, informed decision, which is what they wisely did back in the 80s, you know, polling the public and then, you know, a confidence vote. And, you know, if those things come out favorable, you move forward. But if your community support is not there, clearly you don't move forward. You can't force this on a community, no matter how activated or enthused a committee might be. So everybody has to realize the benefits, and that's the job of the committee to give that information so that knowledge is out there and they can make an informed decision.
And Mayor Meisterm, as I remember that, it was a deal where we're going to have a vote, and it's not a vote where you want to win by one vote. You need to win by a lot to show.
You do.
Because it's a demonstration to the international committee.
We did, and we had two votes, actually. The first one, when we before we knew that we would have to guarantee it, because at that time, Los Angeles had just had the games. That was the precedent that was set. They didn't have to guarantee it, so we didn't know.
You mean like financially guarantee?
The financially guarantee, yeah. Mm-hmm. The financial guarantee. And the first time we won 66-33, roughly, 2-1. And then about 2 years later, once we knew we had to do the financial guarantee, sign for it in case we lost money, we revoted again, and we won 66-33. So 2-1 in favor, and that's a big margin both times.
So people were still pretty comfortable with it. All right, so now we have a caller. Russ is calling from Anchorage. And Russ, did you have a comment or a question?
Yeah, I was here the last time we tried to promote the Olympics, and I was wholeheartedly in favor of it. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think part of our promotion was to make it our turn. And I thought that was kind of a lame promotion. Now, I might be wrong, and Mayor Maestrom, if I am, I apologize. But I think what we ought to be promoting is the big wildlife. When I travel and tell people I'm from Alaska, their eyes light up. They picture mountains and glaciers and moose and the big wildlife. And that ought to be our promotion.
Okay. Now, I have a new committee member. Russ is now on my marketing committee. So thank you, Russ.
That's a good point. Our turn, we may have mentioned that sometime, I think on the second bid, but the theme of the first bid was America's Choice. And we changed that to the second bid to the best choice for all. Mm-hmm. And so those were the two themes. And after we had lost we lost by two votes in the first round of voting for the 94 games to Lillehammer. And as we left Seoul, when we made the bid, the International Olympic Committee members kept saying, now it's your turn. It's Anchorage's turn. It's Anchorage's time. Mm-hmm. And so I think that was what we went before the U.S. Olympic Committee with. But that was never our international theme.
So I do recall that you tried to play up the frontier, the Alaska mystique and all that. And there was a lot of marketing involved. And when you're overseas and you're sort of showing things off, you have to have an image, right?
Alaska sells. And to tell you how much it sells, every other Olympic candidate was the name of the city in the country. It was Cortina d'Ampezzo, Italy. It was Östersund, Sweden. It was the country. It wasn't Anchorage, USA. It was Anchorage, Alaska. And so we were the only city that's ever been just the state or the province or the prefecture.
I remember traveling overseas and being told when the U.S. was unpopular, don't say you're from the U.S., say you're from Alaska. They'll like you much better.
And if worse comes to worse, you're from Canada. So
no, we've found good experience by people liking America all over.
Yeah, I think that's true.
And we think that's just grown in stature over the years. I mean, there's a reason there's 8 reality shows on TV featuring every aspect of Alaska life. We're very interesting to the world out there. That hasn't changed. It's grown. And so Russ is right. That's one of the key things you promote. The International Olympic Committee has really kind of changed their structure over the last decade or two, and they really want jurisdictions that are bidding to focus on not only the uniqueness of your area, but the uniqueness of your culture, and particularly focusing on the indigenous people in your region, if that's something that can be certainly promoted or highlighted. And of course, our case, we have such a rich and diverse indigenous culture that would be one of the other things that you really promote is the wildness and uniqueness of Alaska and the uniqueness of its people.
Mm-hmm. All right, Brad is on with us from Anchorage. Brad?
Hi, how are y'all doing today?
Very good.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I think one of the most important things I heard was managing those costs. Like you said, for a small city, it's important that they manage the cost. Now, Anchorage isn't that small of a city, but there's probably larger places in the northern-type cities that could host the games. But I think that if we manage the cost correctly, it'd be great for the city. Like you said, we have culturally plenty to offer. And I can't imagine it not being anything but just a success. You know, I think in Alaska, we do a good job about managing our costs. And so I can't see it being a bad thing.
All right. Well, thanks, Brad.
Yeah, and I agree. I've been involved in several major international events held here in Anchorage. One was the Arctic Winter Games in 1996. I was the executive director of those games. 2,000 athletes, almost as many as the Winter Olympics. More sporting events because they actually include some indoor events, including the Arctic sports, the native games. And we finished with a $150,000 surplus. We were able to pay the city back the $100,000 grant they gave us and start a new endowment for Chugiak Eagle River. And then I was on the board of the Special Olympics World Winter Games, and again, a major international event. Again, none of those are at the proportion of the Olympic Winter Games, don't get me wrong, but they were major events with thousands of athletes and coaches and venues that had to be utilized. And I think those sort of things in our resume show that that we can do this.
Mm-hmm. And it's Hometown Alaska. We're talking about should the Olympics come to Anchorage. My guests are Mayor Dan Sullivan and former Mayor Rick Maestrom. And if you have questions, if you think it's a good idea or a bad idea, please give us a call, 550-8433, 550-8433. Outside Anchorage, it's 888-353-5752. And the email is hometown@alaskapublic.org. You know, one of the big concerns that is revolving in the Sochi Olympics is security. And there will be massive security. There have been terrorist issues happening in that part of the world recently. And now I'm hearing from folks that, well, maybe they won't go. You know, the parents of Olympians saying, no, some of them are just going to go to that time zone. They're not going to go try to go to Sochi because the security will be so intense they won't even be able to do anything. So this, I mean, this is an issue that wasn't so ever present in the 1980s. It is now. Is that something that could be a negative impact on Anchorage if we have to bring in armies of security for this time period? And you know, are these international events getting too difficult to hold? I'd like to hear both mayors, your feelings on that. Mayor Sullivan?
Well, it is a brave new world in terms of that. And I think when you look at venues, it's important to take into account the context of where that venue is and the situations around that venue. I mean, clearly, Russia has, since it's broken up into various countries, still has some very interesting geopolitical challenges, and those are manifesting themselves in some terrorist acts. You know, our location being literally somewhat isolated, again, from the rest of the world is sometimes a bad thing, but sometimes a good thing. And I think we're probably more capable of kind of containing who comes to the games and how they're screened. And, you know, there's not 12 different ways to get to Alaska particularly. So it is a concern. You would want to make sure that you use the highest level of security. In fact, the games, after 9/11, changed the security of the games dramatically, and now there's a major contingent that the International Committee and the U.S. Olympic Committee provide to when we're hosting the games. So it's different, but I wouldn't compare us to Sochi.
Mm-hmm. Rick, any thoughts on security and also just community impacts of doing this?
Okay. Well, that's two different questions. Yeah. But on security, we had plans for building some chain link fences and having some security guards to look at the passes coming in and out. And that was kind of it, then.
That sort of changed.
But Sochi bothers me for two reasons. One is there is a lot more potential for violence there than most other places in the world, other than maybe the Middle East or some other places. So that bothers me a little bit. The other thing that is of concern is the fact that they're spending $5 billion on the Winter Olympics. And that is so far, and that's going to be something that our committee will have to answer. But it's like somebody going in to buy a new Chevrolet, and they look at it and it's about $35,000, so they buy the Chevrolet. The next person comes along and says, I'll spend $3.5 million for that Chevrolet. And that's about 100 times more. That's what Sochi has done. They're spending $5 billion. That's about 100 times more than is typically spent on the Winter Games. And so that's going to be on people's minds, $5 billion. But
and then there is this inflation factor. It's happened with the Summer Games, too, since China did what they did. Everybody sort of has this higher and higher.
Yeah, but theirs is not even within the normal. Right. I mean, it's just so far out of the norm. That's why I use that Chevrolet example. Yeah. It's not part of inflation. It's not part of trying to make a better game. It's just Vladimir Putin's sort of tribute to himself.
Well, obviously the location, hardly an ideal location on the Black Sea there, which is a summer tourist area. They're making something out of whole cloth, and they're using tons of money to do it. And it's an anomaly, like
it's
I mentioned earlier.
Northern, yeah, it's
no,
northern,
I mean,
northern,
I look again at what happened in Vancouver, Turin, even as far back as Lillehammer on games that I think would be more appropriate for us to emulate in both cost and how they set it up. Lillehammer, for example, they didn't build a big stadium for the opening ceremonies. They actually staged it underneath the ski jump area outside. Mm. And there's a big area, obviously, when you've got that big landing area and everything, and you know, thousands of people properly set in, you know, in areas there in the ski jump area. So you don't have to build a 40,000 person stadium to have a good Olympics.
All right. Let's go to Gail. She's calling from Anchorage with a question about the weather, which is all anybody's talking about these days. Gail?
Yes. I'm wondering, climate change seems to be affecting us. You know, you look at this year and as far as the weather, but I can imagine in 12 years, you know, if it keeps going at this pace, how would that affect the bid as far as the climate change and also the cost of putting on the Olympics here?
If you have to create a lot of snow, bring it in.
Well, let me just say two things about that. Number one, two winters ago, we had the most snow in Anchorage history, so climate change wasn't affecting that, and I don't think it just happened overnight. Last year was the coldest winter in Anchorage history. So again, you get these anomaly winter patterns, but all the scientists that I've read over the last number of years say that we entered a cooling period in the Earth six, seven, 8 years ago. It takes a while for that cooling trend to reverse the warming trend that may have happened, but according to the top geoscientists that I've read, we've actually entered a cooling period. And again, because of our latitude and our normal ambient temperatures, which fairly consistently in February are as good as any location that's ever held the Olympics, our ability to at least make snow is superior to most locations.
Yeah, I think our average winter temperature in February is about 15 degrees, which is actually just perfect, 15 Fahrenheit. And then our daylight's actually longer, too. But this is, you know, I guess to look at it from an American standpoint, it's been the coldest winter in American history. They're freezing right down in the lower 48. So this is a localized bit of weather as opposed to climate. Yeah. And you always worry about weather.
It's a good question, Gail. And we're not here to debate climate change. We could probably do a big show about that. I think that my co-host, Kathleen McCoy, is going to be talking about strange weather on next week's Hometown Alaska. So that'll be a good time to tune in. I guess, I think it probably will be warmer in 12 years, but that may mean that we're the only place in America that can have the winter games. Who knows? So, but good
That's
question.
That's a good point.
Now I'd like to go to Keith, who's calling from Midtown Anchorage. Keith?
Hello. My bottom line is we can't get our streets plowed decently. We can't afford to do Olympics. That's the bottom line. If we can't afford to plow the streets, we can't afford to do the Olympics. And if we do have the money to do the Olympics, why can't you plow my street?
Which street are you on, Keith? Where are you at that you're not getting plowed?
Midtown, Fireweed, and C Street neighborhood.
All right. Mayor Sullivan? I know that all of us know.
I love that. You know, I'm the former mayor. I can't answer that. The current mayor will answer that one.
Well, that's one area where we never cut back on budgets. You know, there's always, again, it's like talking about the weather. There's anomalies, but our street maintenance crew does a great job. It's never been cut under any mayor that I know of. We have more crew, more equipment working than ever before, and you can call the snow plowing hotline. That's easily accessible, and let them know that you still need a plow.
Yeah, well,
all right, Keith.
I used to work for a municipality in Illinois, and I've done plenty of street plowing, and we need to get the plows out on the street
more. All right,
more.
Thanks, Keith. I think you made your point, and we're going to talk about the Olympics some more. But it is, I think that is always the concern that people have, that doing something like the Olympics is a frill. It's sort of an extra when you've got doing everything else. And we're looking at Alaska with some, you know, maybe some tighter budgets ahead and so forth. Gentlemen, do you see the Olympics as a frill or as an add-on, or do you think it's something that you can have? Can you have your cake and eat it too, as I say?
The best way to look at it is to say, what have other Winter Olympic cities said about it when it's over? How would they like it? And there, I can't think of any city right now that would not do it again. St. Moritz, maybe not. They had it in 1924, and they might not do it again. But but no one, and Calgary, after the games in Calgary, University of Alberta did a survey, And I love the results. And I've been trying to verify this, but I've heard it so many times, I just sort of think it probably has some truth to it, is I did a survey after, and 91% of the people said, well, it was a great experience, we'd like to do it again. And 7% of the people said, no, we didn't like it, it was too crowded and too busy. And 2% of the people said, what Olympics? Did we have the Olympics here?
Didn't even notice.
No. Yeah.
What about Mayor Sullivan? You've struggled with some tight budgets.
Sure.
I mean, his point is he's mad about his street, but I mean, there's other city departments that would certainly need more money, could do more if they had more money. Maybe we should concentrate on those things rather than something like the Olympics.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, when we came into office, we certainly inherited a really challenging situation. You had expenses rising dramatically. Part of it has been in the news, obviously, with labor contracts. But at the same time, revenues were declining, you know, in the midst of the worst recession in 70 years. So it was a big challenge. But what we found is that we've kind of changed the culture within the city where every department, we looked for efficiencies, new ways to do business, deliver service effectively, but do it more cost effectively. And, you know, for five straight years, we've created a budget surplus with no loss of service in any department. You know, it's one of those things where our strength of the city is probably best characterized by Standard & Poor's just a few months ago upgraded us to a AAA bond rating, the highest rating they give. So Anchorage is in good position financially compared to where we were 5 years ago. So we've made great progress. And so I think as we go forward to 2026, we just keep building on that so that we truly are prepared when we get to that point if we're successful getting a bid. Anybody could always say you should spend more money over here or over there, but compared to other cities in the United States, we're the envy of a lot of cities. We've got, again, surpluses, great bond rating when we sell our debt. We've got reserve accounts that are at a level that is, again, most cities are looking at Anchorage and going, man, you guys have done a great job.
All right. It's Hometown Alaska on KSKA. My name is Charles Wolforth. I'm here with Mayor Dan Sullivan, who you just heard from, and former Mayor Rick Meistrom talking about Olympic bids for Anchorage, past and future. Mayor Sullivan has suggested we should bid to have the Winter Olympics here in 2026.
Let me just enhance mm-hmm. that last comment a little mm-hmm. bit. One of the things I said right at the start is I think it's an investment in your community. And as you look at the results from these other cities that we mentioned, whether it's Vancouver or Turin, that have recently held the Games, the economic impact as a result of the Games has been significant in each of those locations. So you have to look at it as an investment. You'll see the payoff over the long term, because once you've held the Olympic Winter Games, you're truly recognized forever as a great international city, and that pays dividends for decades.
You also hear about people who, the Olympics are coming to town, and they leave because they're concerned about the crowding, about traffic, about security, all that. Have you guys looked at that issue about what the impact is on the local residents who may not even be sports fans?
Yeah, Rick and I are buying a hotel in Hawaii so that all those people will have a place to go and we can make some money.
If people leave town, they leave town so they can rent their house during the games.
Right.
That's probably that true way. Too, isn't it? Yeah.
All right. Let's go to Chris, who's calling from Anchorage. Chris?
Hi there. I've been around for quite a long time, and I was in favor of the Olympic bid years ago. But, you know, the older I've gotten, the more it's occurred to me that the initial capital outlay to build the facilities is one thing, but once they're there, then there's the ongoing maintenance. And I'm hoping you folks have some thoughts as to why my fear is unfounded.
And some of these would be facilities that don't get a huge amount of use. You'd be building a bobsled run and the luge and the... You know, some of the skating facilities that might not be heavily used. But how do we maintain those long term? Is that a tax burden?
Well, I think Rick spoke to it, and I'll let you speak to it again about the amount of money you guys had planned in your budget for ongoing mm-hmm. maintenance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had roughly $50 million in our budget for ongoing maintenance. And keep in mind that was, as Dan mentioned, 30 or 35 years ago. Wow. And so they're typically any responsible committee would build into their budget an amount that could help maintain some of those facilities. And I've always thought Bob and Lou's facilities could be used a lot more than they are by just having step-up areas. You go just 100 feet from or 100 yards from the bottom of it, and you mm-hmm. let kids go down there, and you go 200 yards, and you let
and
you charge, you know, you charge, you set up a little yeah. venue, and that
start
would be a
training
big deal.
Or
yeah. A training program or entertainment yeah. program.
So, But those numbers that you're quoting, that all depends on the bid that TV networks make to broadcast the games, right? And so there is a little bit of business risk here. What if they don't bid as much as you expect? Is that something that, when do you find out what they bid? And so that you know, do you know, find that out soon enough so you know whether you need to cut back your expectations, or how does that work?
Well,
either of you.
No, I think you literally just look at history. I mean, if we looked at the most recent games, which was Vancouver, you get a pretty good benchmark on what was spent and what the media contributed to the overall budget of the games. And obviously, as Rick mentioned, it was significant. And same thing in 14, 18, 22, you know, we'll be benchmarking what is the contribution from your media market and what are the contributions from the private sector. There's a lot of corporations out there that are consistent Winter Games sponsors, whether it's BP or Coca-Cola and others. And so you just keep track and benchmark. And I can't imagine that you would suddenly see a huge drop off on that, particularly as Rick mentioned earlier, the fact that we're one of the best locations for the media market in the entire world. So. Mm-hmm.
All right. Chris, does that give you more confidence about the maintenance question?
It actually does. Thank you.
All right. Good. Thanks for calling. Here's an email question from Danielle. Has the committee looked at the possibility of hosting a World University Games? This might be a good way of showing the Olympic Committee that Anchorage is ready to host an Olympics. She gives a link for the most recent World University Games at Trentino, Italy. She says, we recently had the joy of going to Trentino to watch my sister-in-law play for Team USA Hockey and take home the bronze. So would that be part of building up to this, is having other types of international competitions here?
Absolutely. In fact, as I mentioned, over the last number of years, we've certainly have held wonderful competitions at both the national and international level. In fact, coming up, there's a few events already. I've got a list here of them. We have the U.S. Junior Ski Jumping Championships in February here in Anchorage. In March, last week of March, we've got the U.S. National Cross Country and Super Tour Finals, which Keegan Randall's going to participate in as her last race. And so we're going to be so proud to have her back from the Olympics to participate in her last competitive race right here. And it's a major event. It's the U.S. National Cross Country and Super Tour Finals. This is a major, major event. But as far as the university games go, absolutely. That's been discussed in committee. We're actually looking at what are the logistics required to host it and what are the times that might be available in the future. So that's a good suggestion.
Mm-hmm. As we start to come into the end zone here, or the, I guess we should say the run out, as you look back, Rick Maestrom, obviously we came very close to winning the Olympics, especially the 98 Olympics, where by fraud the vote was turned the wrong way. How do you envision Anchorage being different today if it had happened in 1 minute or so?
Well, as first of all, as Mayor Sullivan said, is we have more facilities now. Second is, in terms of being able to do it, there's only two or three cities in America that could compete with us. Mm-hmm. One is Salt Lake City, one's Denver, one's Portland, maybe. We've beaten them a number of times. Reno, Tahoe, we've beaten them twice, but they'd be a competitor. Denver will never have the Olympics in my lifetime, just because they had it in 1970. They won it in 1972 for the 76 games, and they voted to turn it down. Mm-hmm. In 1974, and they called the International Olympic Committee and said, we're not doing it. Huh? We canceled. And the IOC had to go to Innsbruck, which is the only time they've ever gone to a city that had all the facilities. And I've had IOC members tell me that if Denver were the only city bidding for the Winter Olympics, they'd cancel the Winter Olympics. They want to get it to Denver. We're not worried about Denver.
So you think we have a good shot at it if we decide to do it?
I think we do.
Yeah. All right.
You know, one of the things that gives me confidence, too, I know you got run out of time, mm-hmm. but, you know, having such significant Alaskan athletes like Keegan Randall and Holly Brooks and those great competitors at the top level of the game actually helps us both in enthusiasm and recognition.
Yeah. And we're proud that they're all headed off to Sochi. Actually, on Outdoor Explorer Week from Thursday, I'm going to have three different Olympic parents in the room to talk about their kids headed for the Olympics, including Keegan Randall's parents. So we're looking forward to that. Thank you to Mayor Dan Sullivan for being here. Thank you to former Mayor Rick Maestrom for being here. It's been an interesting hour, and this is going to be a great debate to have over the coming years. Next week on Hometown Alaska, join host Kathleen McCoy to talk about the weird weather we're having. Pat Yak is the Chief Content Officer for Alaska Public Media. Kristen Platt is our web editor and audio engineer. Thanks for joining us today on on Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Wolforth.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.